In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To tempt is to entice to sin. God tempts no one because he wants no one to sin. He doesn't want man to separate himself from God, to put himself down that dark and dreary road toward the land of misery. The devil tempts. The sinful world around us tempts. Even our own sinful flesh tempts. But God never tempts. He desires that we overcome and win the victory. And so we pray to our dear Father in heaven, and lead us not into temptation. And he never does. Because he desires not only that we overcome, that we live these holy and godly lives to his praise and glory. That doesn't mean he keeps the devil away. He could lock him in hell. He could stop the devil. He could prevent him from roaming around this world, but he doesn't. At least not yet. The devil is on the loose, and he knows full well that his time is short. So he acts like a madman, trying to grab as many as he can. His kingdom has been plundered by Christ himself. He's furious, and he wants them back. So he spends the vast majority of his time, if not all of his time, focused on Christians. He wants you back. So as long as you live on this earth, you will face many temptations of a whole variety. It will assault you and bombard you and fight against you as you stand on the very front lines of this battle. Satan will use whatever he can, both good and bad, both joy and suffering, to try to divorce you from Christ. God has given the devil a long leash. Even in the beginning, he allowed him to enter the Garden of Eden and to speak to Eve. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. Why? Because he did not want robots who are forced to obey. He wanted children who love him above all things. So he gives us these opportunities to show our love. When we are tempted, we flee like Joseph. For how could we ever do such a wicked thing and sin against our God? Like Abraham, we love God even more than our dear sons and daughters, and are willing to forsake all things for the name of Christ. God leaves us on this earth in the midst of this battle so that we may finally overcome and so frustrate the devil to the praise and glory of God. It doesn't mean it's easy. In fact, it's quite exhausting. Day after day, we strive to live holy and godly lives. Day after day, we come up short. We're tempted and we succumb. We desire to love God above all things. His commandments are the joys of our heart. Still, we sin. Satan rejoices in our pride, in our fits of anger, in our selfish ambition. But he also rejoices, perhaps even more so, when we are simply dissatisfied with the things God has given to us. So the devil uses both pain and suffering, along with the green grass on the other side. Discontentment, dissatisfaction. Is that not the sin of Eve in the garden? Or yet our Father still loves us. He swoops down to catch us when we fall. Where Satan thought he gained a foothold, there Christ drives him out with his forgiveness. Satan hates God for forgiving us unworthy creatures. He hates that God would forgive us not simply once or twice, but 77 times 7. He hates God for his grace, his love, his forgiveness, his death, his life. Clinging to his promise, we confess our sins, knowing full well that God will absolve us, righteous in Christ, free in the forgiveness of Christ, raised from death to life yet again. Christ is our anchor, our strength, and our shield. He is our mighty fortress. the only one that can withstand the flaming assaults of the devil. And then we head back out into the midst of that battlefield with Christ himself before us. And Satan gets right back at his assaults. He lies, he twists the truth, he fights against us with anything he can get his hands on. He wants to separate us from Christ. Anything that he can use to make us dissatisfied, discontent, unhappy, unfulfilled, or restless. Now, certainly, our lives do not compare with Job, and yet how often do we echo his plight? Why me? Why doesn't God just get rid of this devil and all the problems which I have done nothing to deserve? And God responds, "Have I not done just that? Did I not crush his head by my cross? Did not my blood set you free from all sin? Did I not open a paradise to you, which is exactly what you have asked for? In fact, far more, a place free from pain and suffering and disease and hardship, far more than you can possibly imagine. Did I not baptize you into this death and life? And don't I incessantly forgive you all your sins, sustaining you for the life to come?" "But," we respond, "I want it now." Discontentment, dissatisfaction, unhappy with God's timetable and the way he has chosen to save. We follow the same sin as Eve. Like Eve, it's hard to trust that God is good when he withholds things from us that we think are good. So Eve ate, and we complain. We don't see how a good God can take away our eyesight or our hearing or our energy. We don't see how a good God could take away life at such a young age. We don't see how a good God can withhold happiness, peace, and prosperity, especially when we have set him above us, above our wants and desires. We don't see how a good God who controls all things can let the devil continue to roam around to cause us such pain and misery. And so at the very heart of our problem, we don't see a good God and find contentment in his time and in his way of saving. But we want a savior for this earthly life to make everything better right now. "You can eat your cake and have it too," Satan whispers in our ears. And so Eve bit into that lie, so have we. But Jesus never bit a stone turned into bread. He refused to curse God and die. He was content to live without the pleasures of life, content to live without food for 40 days. And yet he still trusted that his God was good. He trusted in God above all things. Where we have failed, he overcomes, even though his father withheld food from him. He never doubted, never complained, never questioned, "Why me?" For he knew his father was good. And in his time and in his way, he would give him exactly what he needed. Where we have sought our own rights and where we get offended when others don't treat us as we think we are deserving of, Jesus humbled himself. Even though he was God of God, light of light, he considered himself nothing, taking on the very form of a servant so that he might save you. Where we have been dissatisfied, Jesus was content. Where we have fallen, Jesus has overcome. His perfect trust in God has extinguished all the flaming darts of the devil. He truly is a mighty fortress, a trusty shield and weapon that overcomes all things for us. With a snap of his fingers, he could have sent the devil packing once for all, but he doesn't. He willingly suffers as a man, even temptations by the devil, fighting with the word of God, so that his victory might be for us men. He loves us above all things. So in Christ, you overcome every flaming dart of the devil. God is good. And believe it or not, he knows what he is doing with your life. So he withholds things from you because he is good. And he wants you to see his goodness on that cross. He gives the devil a little bit of chain because he is good and he wants you to be content. He wants you to love him as dear children, not forced to obey as robots or slaves. He wants you to recognize his love in the cross and to see your only hope of salvation in him. God may have left you in this wilderness in the midst of a fearsome battle, but he himself is the one who leads you. As the Spirit led Christ into the wilderness, so he leads you out to your daily lives. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. Christ, your good shepherd and your king, is with you, the one who has overcome all things and who will continue to overcome the devil for you in your life. So he leads you back to those green pastures of his holy word. He leads you back to those renewing waters of holy baptism. He brings you back to repentance and faith. The battle is difficult. The fight is fierce. The day is long. Life is hard. But in Christ, and in Christ you have the victory. I don't know why your life may be rather easy, any more than I know why your life may be rather difficult. Perhaps like Job, God pointed you out to the devil. Have you seen my servant? Perhaps God knows your trust in him will never fail. Even though you don't understand why all this is happening, perhaps your faith so frustrates the devil. Perhaps your contentment, even when God appears to be withholding something from you, perhaps your contentment in the gifts of God so infuriates Satan. Perhaps your confidence that God must be good to you, and his cross speaks of that goodness. Perhaps your confidence that God is good so delights the angels in heaven. But I do know that God is with you, and that God is good to you. You may not feel safe in the midst of this battle. You may feel like your life is falling apart. You may see anything but peace. But God himself is with you, and he is faithful. He speaks that word to you once more. He puts his very own body and blood on your tongue. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in him. The devil cannot remain where a heart clings to Christ. He must flee. He must go away. He can tempt all he wants, but in Christ we have the victory. That battle was fierce and long as Christ labored in the wilderness, yet one was the victor and one had to flee. The battle was fierce and long and very bloody on Calvary, and yet one was crushed forever. And one rose in glory. So be still and know that Christ is your God. He will fight for you, even as he has done in the past. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.